Jesus didn't know what's worse now below than it was then. Just lead us through this day. Lead us through this time, Lord. Help us, lift us up, and bind us together, and do it one day at a time. That's the song we wanted to sing, that message, just to know that it is worse now than then, but he sees it, and he's with us even today. So we need to all take it together this morning, one day at a time. Thank you. We're going to do something a little different, so we'll do our hymn later. Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated. Give him praise. Give him love. Hallelujah. That's our God. A very wise God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Who thought that up? God thought that up. He kind of puts you in, all that other stuff is, yeah, deliver us, Lord. And yeah, on earth as it is in heaven, that's good. And I got to do what? Forgive what? Forgive us our what? As I do what? So he's only going to forgive you as much as you forgive somebody else. Jesus knew what he was doing, right? Kind of threw that right in the middle. That little hiccup right in the middle. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. You know, some people don't say the part, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And it's okay that they don't say it, but it's still true. Even though it's not said in some churches, some people decide not to say it. Isn't it true? So we say, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. How long? Forever. Whose kingdom? His kingdom. Who's going to be there? We are. I think that's a good thing. Responsive reading. Y'all ready? Everybody up? Okie dokie. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the land of Zoan. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still walked away. They still refused. They were there. They saw it. And they still argued with him. They still had their complaining. So you imagine how hard it is for churches today to not have all this. Here's God with Moses walking through the desert. He's doing all these miracles. And it says he forgot his works, his wonders that he had shown them. Can you imagine that? And you wonder why sometimes churches are hard to get people to come and stay. Back in that day, it was hard. So we have to understand that we have to be strong. We have to. God might call on us to do something today. You might think impossible, but that's God. He asks us to do the what? The impossible. But you ought to get excited about that. Because if he asked you today, if he looked at Eugene and said, I wanted you to do something, you say, he must think I can do it. So if you think if God thinks you can do it, Yvonne, then what do you? You stand up and say, I can do it if you think I can do it. That's God. That's what we're preaching about. We're singing about. Praise you. I don't want these walls to sing out. I want this church to be a light. I want the people to hear. I want the stream of God out there. That's what I'm praying for. For all of us. Because every time this church gets blessed by one person, guess what happens? We all get blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. It's quiz time. I got to wait for Dave, but let's go to the quiz. Oh, before we do the quiz, thank you. I wrote a note. Greg might not remember this, but I have to share this with you because it's special to me. And I want him to know, and I want you to know how special something you might have done that you didn't think it was any big deal. His two boys went to a sports show, an evening sports show, you know, where they have a dinner, a sports dinner. And they're not really big into sports. I think Dougie likes basketball. I don't know, Jesse, how much sports he was in. I don't even remember.
No, it was soccer and basketball.
And so, but there was a guy there that they didn't really know and what, but they waited in line. Dougie said 45 minutes because the line was long. They waited in line to get a baseball signed by this guy. And then they came to me, Greg, remember, and they said, we want, this is for you. We stood in line. We don't know who the guy is really, but we gave them, we want you to have this. And I have it on my desk. It's one of my treasured souvenirs. The ball is signed by a man named Whitey Ford. Yep. Whitey Ford. Passed away this week at the age of 91 years old. He served two duties in the military during his playing time. He left, him and Yogi Berra actually left the field and served in the military. Ted Williams did, a lot of those ball players did. But Whitey passed away this week, and I looked at that ball and I said to Doreen, I said, it's so much more special now. The ball probably not valued anything because Whitey was good at signing autographs. So there's a few ball players who just signed a lot of things, and so the value, what's not the value? The value is to me. I have a ball that's signed by Whitey Ford, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Yankee pitcher of all time. And it was your boys who gave it. They probably don't even remember that they gave it to me. It's such a little thing, but it means so much to me. So you never know what you're going to do for somebody that might mean so much for them that you just say, well, that's no big deal. But it's a big deal to me, and I wrote that down, Whitey Ford, to remember to tell you that. Thank you, Greg. Thank him again. Hallelujah. Aw. Are you ready for the quiz? I don't know. Norma, you ready? Okay. What did Jesus have against the church at Ephesus? We read in Revelation about how many churches? Anybody know how many churches? Seven churches. Good job. Thank you, Elder. But it said, what did he have against the church at Ephesus? He talked to the seven churches and had good things and bad things. But he had this against them. Was it A, that they left their first love? Was it B, that they denied their faith? Or was it C, they hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans? Those are the three things. So what would you say? What did Jesus have against the church of Ephesus? A, that they left their first love? B, that they denied their faith? Or C, that they hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans? Anybody? All right, here's the answer in Revelation. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. They were a great church. They did great things, but they left. They did not put Jesus first. Understand exactly what God is saying. You left your first love. You see that a lot with churches, that they get away from God. They think they have to do other things and have to change the Word of God and make people come and be accepted by nothing other than the Word of God. Amen. So they left their first love. They put Jesus second or third. And that's what he was saying there. So how many got that right? Don't raise your hands because I wouldn't. Okay. Hallelujah. Yvonne got it right? This is one of my favorite ones. What would the Lord do with those who were lukewarm? Lukewarm. What would the Lord do to those who were lukewarm? They weren't hot and they weren't cold. What would they do to those? And he said, was it A, cast them into darkness? B, spew them out of his mouth? Or C, send fire upon them? What would the Lord do with those who were lukewarm? Cast them into darkness. A, anybody? B, send them out, spew them out of his mouth? Or C, send fire upon them? Hallelujah. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why? Because they're lukewarm. They know the Word, but they're not on fire for the Word. Understand that. And they're not cold. See, if they just denied him, he could work on that. If they had all this other issues, he could work on that. But because they knew the Word of God, they were a church, and they were there because they were lukewarm, he said, that's ridiculous. You know me. You know my miracles. You know what I do, yet you're lukewarm. Understand that. Get that in your spirit and understand the depth of what he's saying there. Because you're lukewarm. Because you should know better. Because you should be praising him. You should be on fire. You should know and have faith. Hallelujah. He said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Heaven forbid any church like that. What were the locusts when they were released in the book of Revelation? What were the locusts released during the tribulation commanded not to harm? He's sending the locust out through all the land, and he's commanding him not to harm. Was it A, the two prophets? Was it B, the city on seven hills? Or was it C, the grass, green plants, and trees? How many think the locusts were commanded not to harm the two prophets? A, anybody? How about B, the city on seven hills? Don't harm that. Or C, the grass, green plants, and trees? Hallelujah. Then Revelation 9:4. Thank you, Lord. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and they with to them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth had power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. That's what they were commanded to do. They were commanded, but only those men who not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Hallelujah. Anybody get that right? You got that good? Hallelujah. Good. I got one more little mini quiz. I got one more extra question for you, a bonus question. How old was Moses when he went to the burning bush? Anybody remember that story, Moses and the burning bush? And it's interesting. Moses called it a what? A burning bush. What did Moses see?
Fire.
Fire. And where? The bush. So he called it a what? When Moses wrote to us the story about it, what did he write about? The burning bush. What would you have said? You walked in the woods and there was a bush on fire. What would you call it? A burning bush. He wrote what he saw, just like you and me. We're going to get into that. This is kind of together. But how old was he when he went to the burning bush? Was he 40 years old, A? Or B, was he 60 years old? Or C, was he 80 years old? How many think that Moses was 40 when he went to the burning bush? How about 60? You got any 60? Come on, 60, 61, 62, 60. Or how many think that he was 80 years old when he went to the burning bush? Moses, you guys are too good. These are easy quiz. Moses was 80 years old. 80. Yeah, walking up the hill with good hips. Both knees working. You think, oh, this church is a little older. God can't use us. You got to stop thinking that way. I want Second Congregational to be a church that God can use. I know I'm crazy. I get it, I'm crazy. But I'm believing this word of God, and I want us to act on that word of God. Amen? So the answer is yes, 80 years old. Praise the Lord. Those are your quizzes for today out of the book of Revelation. We have a Bible study Tuesday night. And I promise you that it's going to be very interesting. Things you probably haven't talked about. Maybe things you haven't thought about. Maybe things you haven't heard before. But I promise you that it'll be very interesting. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, 6:45. Here comes Bonnie and Dave, everybody. There they are. Hi, Dave. You missed the quiz.
No, I didn't get anything wrong. Hey.
Man, thinking that way, you didn't get any right either. Hi, Miss Bonnie. Hey, Dave, how old was Moses at the burning bush? 40, 60, or 80? Don't tell him. Somebody told him. You guys are terrible. You're like, let's make a deal, and somebody's telling you what's in the box. Did you hear that, Gene? I asked him, and somebody turned around and gave him the answer. Praise the Lord. All right, let's get started. How's everybody? Y'all good? I'm excited about today. I might have something today that you haven't thought about. I might have something. Bonnie, good to see you. Thank you, honey. Get yourself comfortable. Nice smile. How many remember the when John wasn't here a couple of weeks ago, when the doggy was, we call him dog, he wasn't here. And people were looking, and Anne-Marie, and we're seeing John. I know that a lot of people said, I didn't even notice he wasn't here because I saw Anne-Marie. Amen? Now, last week, guess who wasn't here? Chuck was. But I walked in and I saw him. Anybody else beside me? I saw Marilyn and I saw Chuck. Two people, one spirit. Amen? Spiritually connected to our eyes. Understand, you're not crazy. But to your eyes, you saw them both because the church is becoming spiritually connected. That's powerful. Think about this for a second, please. Think about how connected we are. You're spiritually connected because we saw them and they weren't here. We need to be that way with other people who aren't here. Flo's not here. Anybody notice? You need to be spiritually connected. Pat and George aren't here today. Pat and Tom aren't here. We need to understand that we were spiritually connected. We were one spirit. That's why you saw them. To understand, but it takes time and it takes dedication, Bonnie, to get a church like that. People have to stay through all the disappointments. They have to stay in a church. They can't go church hopping. They will never get connected. They will never find what they're looking for because they don't even know. But when you're here and you have foundation, that happens. If Yvonne's not here, you miss her. We miss Brian. Brian's still going to church, by the way. He's been going to church forever. And he's going to his Catholic church. He likes it. But we're going to call him and say, you promised to come here once a month. But we miss him. But this is a spiritual. This is how important this is. Stay with me. We are one church, spiritually connected. I saw Chuck sitting there last week, spiritually. All tied together. Imagine this, what God can do with a church that's spiritually connected. Please imagine that with me. We were so spiritually connected. Imagine what God can do here. Imagine the work we could do. Imagine what the church can do for God. Oh, Lord. Come on, this is great. In the Word of God, how many know that there's beasts and there's horns on the beast and the horns speak and there's fire and there's flames and there's power and there's all kinds of stuff. Battles, principalities, and powers. That's all in the Bible. Amen? That's all in there. All these things. It gets complicated. Right? You start reading about seven horns and seven crowns and fire and you stop reading because I don't know what it's talking about. I get lost. Anybody like that? Yet, you got a smart, anybody with a smartphone? How about a computer? Anybody with a computer? It can get complicated. Greg, there's so many things you don't even know what it does. So you're thinking, I don't get, you get lost. How do I do that? Well, you can look up this and say this and saw that and pick this out. Right, Jim? I mean, I tell Jim something about baseball. He's got the statistics in 3 seconds or less. But he didn't. When he got the phone, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what button to push. Just like the computer, just like the Bible with the horns and stuff. It gets complicated. But how did you learn your computer? You don't want to admit it. How many, you got your smartphones. How did you learn how to use your smartphone?
I asked my daughter.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say my granddaughter. She got the phone. We went to Lowe's shop and she told us what aisle the things were in. Yeah. You got to practice. You just press buttons. You got to practice. You got to work at it. It's the same thing in the Bible. How do you overcome the Bible with that? Because if you're interested enough, you look up about the horns and the crowns, and you start to understand what they mean, what they represent, and then you understand more. If you want to. But you don't say that it's too complicated because that smartphone in your hand the first day you got it was a whole power worth of stuff you didn't know what to do. I know somebody here that didn't even know how to answer hers. I'm not saying anything. But thankfully somebody we know had the same phone and this is how you stripe it across. You see what I'm saying? But if you want to take the time, trial and error, learning. Okay. That's enough. Let's get out of the technical. I said all that because I want you out of the technical. I want you to see with your eyes. I want you to hear with your ears. Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. Let's get out of the technical, and stop and look at God. Look at who? Hallelujah. Daniel 7. 9. You want to go home and read it. Listen to this. You're out of the technical now. I want you to see with your eyes. Remember the burning bush? How many remember we talked about the burning bush? Please all raise your hands, please. I want you all to know you remember. Please, Norm, raise your hand. You remember, but thank you. Because I want you to forget. Daniel says, I watched till the thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. The first time I read that, I just started, wow. Anybody want to guess who the Ancient of Days is? No, it's God the Father. God the Father. Anybody ever seen God the Father? No, the Bible says never see him. Daniel's describing him. God the Father, and he called him the Ancient of Days. Why would that? Because he was here in the beginning. He was the beginning. In the beginning was God. He is the Ancient of Days. And in your Bible, it should be capital letters. Should be capital letters. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Now, why would he say that? Because I want you to understand, Moses saw a what? A burning what? So he told you what he saw. Daniel is telling you what he's seeing. He said his hair is white as snow. Anybody ever see a first snowfall and you look out and the snow's on the ground? Which color is it? How pure is it? It's beautiful. So he's only telling you what he's seeing with his eyes. Get out of the technical. He's telling us about God the Father. His white as snow and his hair as pure as wool. Say, what? What is that? What's all about? Think about the time he's riding. Where does wool come from? And what's a little sheep called? Lamb. And is a lamb pure? It's pure. So he's saying his hair is like pure lamb's wool. It's pure. He can't come up with a different word. He doesn't know a different word. He's telling you the same word. He's describing God the Father. The same way you would describe the foliage. If you came back next Sunday and told me about the foliage, you would describe it all the yellows and greens and reds and purples and pinks. Or you went to the Grand Canyon and you tried to describe it to somebody. Or perhaps you want to describe a sunset to somebody. How do you do it? You just tell them what you see. Understand, get out of the technical. Daniel is telling you about God the Father. I just love this. I get so wound up with this. The Ancient of Days, how wonderful. And his garment was white as snow. That's all he can tell you. But you can picture it. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was wool. It was pure. It was clean. Hallelujah. Then they said, and his throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels a burning fire. Everybody knows what fire looks like, right? So he's saying his throne was like a fire of flames. There was flames shooting out of it. You should see it. And its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Look at this. See it in your eyes. Don't see it technically. You don't have to not understand. It's right. And it came forth from before him. This fire and the steam was coming out from underneath him. And around them is power. There's fire. There's purity in the fire. We all know that fire purifies everything. And it's coming out from God the Father. Now listen. He said 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Do you think he knew the right number? No, Bonnie, he didn't know the right number, but he's saying, I can't even count it. Anybody ever look up at the sky at night when you're in a beautiful place, you look up, how many stars are in the sky? Anybody? Thousands? 10,000? What would you tell somebody? 100,000? He's telling us, he's saying, I can't give you a number. He's so excited, he's talking about God the Father. He said, 10,000. Times 10,000 stood before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him. He's looking, and he's saying, my God, look at this. And the court was sealed, seated, and the books were opened. Whew! Am I excited today? I've been thinking about this since 6 o'clock this morning to share it with you. And then he said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. Anybody who's the Son of Man? Jesus. What did Jesus call himself? One of his most favorite things he called himself was the Son of Man. That's one of his favorite things he told people. I am the Son of Man. And Daniel's seeing this. One like the Son, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. They brought Jesus to who? His Father. They brought Jesus to his Father. His Father. And Daniel is seeing this. Then to Jesus was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, how many? All people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That's your God. That's your Jesus. And he's sitting next to who? It doesn't say yet, does it? It doesn't say where he is, but everybody knows what the Bible says. Where is Jesus sitting? At the right hand of his Father. And Daniel sees this. So get out of here. Get out of. And speaking of technical, Brother John knows more about computers, and I mean, it would take me a lifetime to learn what he knows, because he studied and he did that. But he also knows the Word of God. Amen. So he doesn't get confused, because it takes that time. Brother John, good to see you. God bless you. So Daniel is telling us in this book what God looks like, and the angels, and we got to see it. He's seeing it. And then he sees the Son of Man. He sees Jesus come, and they bring him to his Father. Can you imagine that vision? Hallelujah. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm excited. And it says this, my little children, in the first John's, listen to this. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. Ooh, okay, where's this going? And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the world, the whole world. How much of the world? The whole world. He is a propitiation for our sins. He paid the price. He's already covered your bill. He's already covered that. And he sits where? At the right hand of who? His Father. Let's go to Romans. Listen to this. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How shall Jesus sitting right there? How can he not with Jesus give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Listen to this. It is God who justifies. Say that with me. It is God who justifies. When you see people say no justice, no peace, you say, well, you're not giving it. So what is justice? God is the one who justifies. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Where is he sitting? The right hand of God. And he makes intercession for us. What does he do? He lifts you up to God. He makes intercession. Yeah, well, this guy did this. God, Jesus said, nope, I'm his attorney. He didn't do it. Makes intercession. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, church? No. Shall distress? Shall persecution, church? Say no. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril of sword, as it is written. Hallelujah. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What are we? We are more than conquerors. You need to understand that. I don't care what you're dealing with today. I don't care what your battle is today, because God's got an answer. So we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice the word loved. He loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us. Not anything. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing created. Any sin created can't do it. Nothing, no depth. There's nowhere you can go. You can't hide from his grace, his mercy. He is inside of you. He loves you. That's powerful stuff. He's sitting at the right hand of who? Hallelujah. How many know that he will make a way where there is no way? Anybody? He will make a way. Anybody ever heard that? That's not scripture. It's not scripture that he will make a way where there is no way. But there are scriptures that say this. Listen to this, Isaiah. He will make a way where there is no way. But listen to this. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. That sounds like he's making a way where there is no way. Amen. He's going to make a way through the sea and the mighty water. And listen to this. This is so important. I wish everybody heard this. Do not remember the former things and consider the things of old. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Let me tell you something. Yesterday is old. You can't have it back, so it's gone. He said, forget about it. And he said, well, what do you mean, the sins, anything? Yes. You forget it. You forget because you're moving forward. You're pressing towards the goal. And Isaiah is telling us the same thing that Paul said to us. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And he says, God says this, behold. I love when he says it, because that's it. He said, behold. When God says behold, it means it is. Amen? He's saying, behold. I will do a new thing. Not you. You got nothing to do with it. He said, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And he says, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That sounds like he will make a way where there is what, church? No way. He will make a way. God will. God will make a way where there is no way. That means whatever you're in now, whatever you're in, whatever you got to get out of, whatever, he will make a way. He will make a road somewhere. You think a wall, a door is shut, he will make a path underneath it, around it, over it. Doesn't matter. He will make a way. He will also put walls up. How many will that? If you're listening to God in your spirits, right, you want to do this and you see, why can't I do this? I keep trying and I can't. Because God put a wall up. We call it roadblocks. He puts them up sometimes and you fight against it all you want. And you know what he does? He laughs at you. He said, well, you got by that one, but you're not going to get by this one. I'm not going to let you do that. You can want to do that. You can want to say that to somebody. You might be so mad at somebody that you just want to scream at him and you can't wait, and he'll put a roadblock up. Something happens to your phone. Something happens to your computer. Your phone doesn't work. You can't reach him on the phone. The line's busy. So you can't say what you want to say. And then an hour later, you don't even want to say it anymore. And you say, well, thank you for not letting that happen. That's called the wall. That's called the roadblock. He will make a way where there's not a way. He will protect you against yourself. Amen? Jesus is our advocate. He's your lawyer. He's sitting right there next to you. He's sitting at the right hand of God. All right, here it comes. I got time. Thank you, Lord. I was worried about this. So God says to me, I'm saying me. I want you to say you, okay? I wrote it me and ours, but I want to be me. So you, you're me. I'm you. We're all together. Anybody perfect here? Okay. God says to me,
stand up.
But I got Jesus.
Stand up.
I want to ask you a question. Maybe one of the biggest questions that I ask people, I've heard over and over again, and I pray for this answer. I don't know everything. I don't. Yvonne, I admit it, I don't know everything. But I pray to God for answers that make sense, that talk about God. Bonnie, I believe it in my heart. When you think about things people have asked, God says, stand up. I'm going to ask you a question. So you stand up and your knees are shaking. Because God, the white guy, the white coat on, and the hair and the thing and the fire coming on, the angels. He wants to talk to me. Talk to you. And he says, does my son's sacrifice now give you permission and freedom to sin anytime you wish? Heard that before. He says, does his mercy and compassion release you from guilt? And look at Jesus. Jesus saying, nope. I'm your advocate, but he's asked you a question. People have said that over the years. Well, you turn to God, now I can do anything I want because he forgives me. But God is asking me today and asking you today, does my son's sacrifice give you permission to sin? And I looked up at him. I said, Father, before Jesus came into my heart, there was no shame, no guilt. I knew nothing except my flesh, my needs. That's all I knew. Every shining object, Lord, that caught my attention, took me away from God, held me in control. I had nothing. That's what I had. My own self and those shiny objects. My words, my doubts, my tongue, self, my desires took me away from God. There was no shame then. We all have our excuses, amen? We all have our excuses for following shiny objects. Understand, you're all with me now. We all have our excuse. If we all do, raise your hand because you all know you got excuses why you said you did and you do what you do. Why them shiny objects? We have our excuses to justify our actions. We justify our words by our excuses because of the shiny object. And I'm using shiny object, but you all know what a shiny object is, right? It's a sin. And you know what a sin is? Anything that takes you away from God. Anything that takes your focus off of God is a sin. He doesn't look at grades. He doesn't have a grade of sins. Not like the Ten Commandments. He doesn't have this one, this one. He said sin is sin. Any sin, he gets pulled away from God. And we all have our excuses. And this is something true. We all judge each other's with their shiny objects. Tell me that's not true. I prayed about it. I said, we judge others by shiny objects. Yet, we never see anything that we touch as being evil, ungodly, hurtful, or wrong. We can judge somebody else like that. about their shiny object. Well, you know what they did, you know where they went, you know what they said, you know the action. We can do that really well. Amen? That's called self. That's called us. But that's what we do. Any shiny object, we justify. Well, you don't understand what that person said to me. That's my justification. No. No, God understands. That's not how. Good thing he doesn't look at us that way. Okay, that's enough. You sinned enough, you're done. I thank God he never says that. You sinned enough, I don't want to talk to you ever again. Don't talk to me for 2 weeks. I'm glad he doesn't do that. Don't even bother asking prayers to me because it's not going to work. I'm glad he doesn't do that. He doesn't judge us. Yet we're good at that. We're good at judging other people by their shiny objects. Then I looked up to God. I wrote this as our and we, but I'm making it me so you can hear it and just look in the mirror. Just take into your own heart. Then I said, God, then your son came into my heart, opened my eyes. My heart broke, not just for myself, but for those I hurt, the people that I touched wrong. Every weakness was revealed in me. I was a sorry mess without your son. I was a boat adrift in a storm, no guidance and no hope. That's who I was. Not only did your son came to save us, he came to heal us and to guide us. We trip, we fall, yet he lifts us up. We reach it for shiny objects and he puts roadblocks in. Remember that again. We reach for these, we continue to, Paul said he fought with this all the time, but we continue to reach for shiny objects, whether it's doubt, whether it's worry, whether it's fear, whatever it is you have, whatever it is that you deal with, not just me, but whatever you, those shiny, you continue to reach for them and he continues to put roadblocks up. He doesn't get angry at you. He puts a roadblock, he puts a wall up. Gentle but firm to turn us always back to him. His forgiveness, I look up to God and say, but his forgiveness is never ending. His mercy, his grace is never ending. Hallelujah. We are not perfect. I say, Lord, your word tells us. Yet when we turn back to God, listen to this, this is so beautiful. When you turn back to God, when you let go of that shiny object and you say, okay, God, I'm going to turn back to you. It's like almost immediately blessings fall, Bonnie. Almost immediately you feel something in your heart. You feel your spirit rising. You feel this peace. You feel like I'm going to be okay because God hears that and he sees that. Anybody ever have a child that did something so good that you had to reward them? Anytime. Anybody. You had a friend who gave you something and you said, I got to give something back. This person. And God is our Father. And when his children stop for a second and turn back to his son, even for that second, God has to reward them. He said that angels are clapping in heaven when people turn back to God, when people give their heart to God. So up there in heaven, he sees that. He sees that you stopped. You're not perfect. Nothing like you don't think anything really has changed, but so much has changed because you stopped. And your father almost immediately rewards you. He rewards his children. For what? For listening. Because now you're obeying. Because now you have that compassion. Because Jesus is inside of you. And that spirit wells up and says, I can't do this. I can't go there. I can't say this. I can't act this way. Whatever it is. And you say it because God is now inside of you. That's what you tell God. It's like God can't contain himself when his child behaves. You all know what I'm talking about. You've all blessed people and given people so many things because they've given you love or they've given you a hug or they've given you something good. They made you feel good. So you want to give them back. God is even greater than you. I'm sorry. But when you stop and let go of the object, God says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless you now. And the first blessing is you feel peace. You feel like, ah, I can breathe again. The battles are real. Amen. Shiny objects are everywhere. We need to pray for each other. Understand that. We need to pray for each other. Pray for God to bless each of us. Touch each of us. After forgiveness comes blessings. After forgiveness comes blessings. blessings to you, to this church. I believe it. I believe it today. I believe it more today than ever. This prayer that I wrote, this sermon that I wrote, I believe it with all my heart. I believe that blessings come the second you stop and the second you turn back to God, because He can't stop Himself, because He loves you so much that He sees you going to try. Oh, you're going to try. You're going to try, Greg. And I'm going to bless you because you're going to try. I want you to see that working with God and walking with God is good for you. And it's good for this church. Now, can God lie? Is it up to you? No, it's up to God. So I just say this, ending this sermon today. Thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you, Lord, that I've been... This is so... So amazing to think about. God the Father, you know what He looks like. The Son sitting at the right hand, your advocate. You don't have a freedom to sin anymore. Your body doesn't change. Your flesh doesn't change, but there's spirit inside of you. When you realize all the things you've said or done and the things how you've hurt somebody else or maybe hurt yourself. Maybe you've hurt yourself. Maybe you can't forgive yourself. God says He's not lying. If God forgives you, you better forgive yourself. Because if you don't, you're holding on to the devil. You're holding on to a shiny object. You're holding on to guilt. You're holding on to depression. You're holding on to fear. Because God said, I already removed it. Can God lie? No. So it's not up to you. It's what God has already done for you. It's up to you to accept it. The blessings. Hallelujah. Follow forgiveness. That's God. So when God says, when somebody says to you, well, because you're a Christian, you feel like you can do all them same things, say no. Because my spirit convicts me. The Holy Spirit leads me and guides me and tells me when I've said something wrong or done something wrong to somebody, or there's a shiny object that got in the way of my devotion to God. And once you let it go, even if you just let it go before it hits the floor, this is a scripture, but this is the way God is. Before you hit and lets the floor, guess what God is doing? Blessing you. Why? Because you let go. And He said, when you let go, I am going to bless you so you don't want to look at that again. You won't want to pick it up again. And if you go and you pick it up again, He will knock it out of your hands again because your heart is right. If you make the same mistake twice, three times, four times, doesn't matter. If the flesh makes mistakes, because God is greater than our flesh, His forgiveness is for all people. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He is our advocate. So when somebody comes against you, Jesus stands up and says, not guilty. And God the Father says, not guilty. But you don't want that. Because you know it doesn't work in your life. And you don't want that because it doesn't help you to worry. It doesn't help you to be afraid. It doesn't help you to be mad. It doesn't help you at all. It helps the devil because it makes you weaker. But thank God, the second you let go of any of that, God begins to bless you. So I'll end this sermon with these words. Thank God for Jesus. Give Him praise. Hope everybody hears that message. Maybe you can share some of that with some other folks too. Wow, God. He wants to bless His children. That's all He wants to do. He's sitting up there all excited. I want to bless Aunt Marie. I want to bless everybody. I want to bless you. Just say, thank you, Lord. Okay, here's a blessing. I can't give you double blessings. I can't give you I can't give you anything. God gives you the blessing. Last night, we saw it again. This guy wanted 50 people to send him $924. 50 people. Get your credit card out, he said. Send it to me. 50. And we started adding up. That's over $45,000. He's going to give you a double blessing if you do it now. Do it today. If you don't have the money, send $100 a week. Send $100 a month, get $1,200. $100. God wants to bless you now because you love Him. He wants to bless you because you let go. Because you came to church today, He wants to bless you. Why would He not want to bless you for coming to church? Because He wants you to want to be back in church. This church is one spirit. When we missed Chuck last week, that was the spirit of God. When we missed John a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, that was the spirit of God. When we miss you guys, that's the spirit of God. We love you. I don't mean to bug you and call y'all, but I love you, and that's when we miss you. We miss people who aren't here. That's what makes the church one body, where God can use it. I believe He can use this church because we are becoming one spirit. We don't all agree on everything. We're not supposed to. We're different people. But we agree on God. And we agree the only way this church gets really powerful is we all become one spirit. When somebody's not here, we miss them. That it could be 30 people, 50 people, 70 people, 100 people. Every church should be like that. That's the church that God is calling for. One spirit. Because we love each other. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Now he's looking down. Father's looking down with his son. Look at that. What's going on in that church? Jesus is saying, hey, Dad, look. Look. Dad, look. Look at that little church. There's a few people in there, but look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're lifting up the bread. Just like I did, Lord. Look at that. And they're gonna do this. They're going to eat that host in remembrance of me. Look it. Look at that. They're going to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. He sees it. He sees what you're doing. He took the wine and poured it into a cup. He said, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. It was symbolic. The wine was his blood. He was showing us that the blood would be shed for the remission of our sins. So we look up to heaven right now and look to the Father and say, forgive us for our iniquities. My Lord is right there next to you. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, forgive us and bless us, Lord, at the same time. Forgive us and bless us. Heal our bodies. Heal our hearts. Heal our minds, Lord. We're calling on you, the great God. We're calling on you who can do all things. Who can do all things, Lord. We love you. We're doing this in the precious name of Jesus. We're told in the Bible that when we pray to use the name of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, this morning we do that. Cleanse us, Lord, so we can receive this. So we can be holy. We can be set apart. We can be your people this morning. Lord, call on us this morning, Lord. We'll see what we're doing in remembrance of your Son. In Jesus' name, church. May that be the sweetest drink you've ever had. May that be a miracle passing through your body even right now. Just as water is a healing in our body. May that, what we just did, be a healing in your body. Make you strong. Make you feel like, yes, no matter what you did an hour ago, it doesn't matter. What you did right now matters. And God is ready to bless you because now you're walking according to the Lord. You've praised him. You thanked him. You recognized him. You did it in his son's name. You remembered what he did. Everything you've done is according to scripture. Now receive the blessings that God will pour on you. He will pour it on each of us according to our own needs and according to our own faith and our own love. He will do that. Whatever your need is different than mine. But he sees your need. Claim it this morning. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know that I have my flesh, and I know what I say is not always correct, and I know I worry and I have doubt, but forgive me, Lord. Make me see, Lord. Help me to see. Help me to see. Like the song said, help me to see more than I am, what you can be. Lord, we'll do it one day at a time. One day at a time, Lord. But we're going to take this healing right now, right this minute at 11:35 on Sunday morning. We're going to take this healing, Lord. We're going to walk with this healing. We're going to share it with each other. We'll be strong in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah, church. We can do all things, church. When we get to 50 people, we're going to need to know everybody's names. You're going to need to help me. When we get to 50 people, you're going to have to go, and you're all going to have to visit each other and talk to each other. When we get to 75 people, we're going to need those extra people to talk to those people. We're going to need help. We're only going to help everybody on deck. When we get to 100 people, we're going to need to know everybody's name. That's the thing we need to understand. Anybody that comes in, we need to be around them, lead them, tell them, this is a home. This is where God is being preached. And when they come and they become strong in us, this church will become stronger. But right now, this morning, this church is pretty powerful. This church has a foundation with Jesus. This church should stand up and praise God with everything because he is good for us. And what we're doing in this church is the right thing to do. Give him praise, church. I don't want $900. I don't even want to know what you give. I don't even want to know what's in the offering because it's between you and God. That's all. What you give is from your heart to God. It blesses this church. It makes you a part of this church. You become partners with God, partners to the work of this ministry, your church, and you become partners. This is yours. Whatever God has blessed you with, you want to bless back because the Bible says he will bless you back. If he's done something for you that nobody else can do, if you got something from God you couldn't get anywhere else, then you say, Lord, I want more. You can't outgive him. Don't think you're going to empty your wallet and he's going to say, oh, look at that. No, don't. But you give from your heart. You say, Lord, you know my need, but I'm going to put this in here because you said you're going to bless me. That's it. That's all it is between.
In our bulletin today on history, Christian history, at the very bottom of the page it says, be smart, all you rulers, and pay close attention. Serve the and honor the Lord. Be glad and tremble. Show respect to his son, because if you don't, the Lord might become furious and suddenly destroy you. That's Psalms 2:10-12.